restrictions on land and limits on where development is allowed, the booming house prices aren't that out of place. The focus is expected to shift on height limits in Auckland City later this month. Jason Krupp is a research fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. And Jason, good evening to you again. Thank you for your time.
No problem, Terry.
This is very interesting. So you believe it's essential to axe the regulations on height restrictions, do you?
Absolutely. One of the things that has been, you know, convincingly shown in the academic literature is that the more restrictions you have on cities, the higher the price of property within that. And that applies to restrictions that stop cities from growing out, and also cities that restrictions that stop them from growing up. And Auckland is kind of remarkable in its profile compared to other international cities. If you you drive from the city centre straight into the suburbs, where other cities have more of a kind of gradual shift between the two. And that is something we have to change if we want to make housing affordable and achievable for people who are just starting their career.
And what does your research suggest then, Jason, that these regulations, these restrictive land use regulations, they're actually pushing up the price of properties? That's part of the problem.
Absolutely. In the inner city, it's the fact that we've allowed incumbent homeowners to dictate what that development will be, and the preference there seems to be suburban neighbourhoods. When really what we should allow is the cost of the land to dictate what goes on it. So you tend to find in freer markets, the more expensive land is, the more your housing units get built on it. Here, the problem we have is that we have rules which limit properties from going up. And so what happens is that the price of land goes up, but you don't get more units of housing built on that land. And so it contributes to the shortage. Couple that with urban growth boundaries and you have a real problem.
Right. And we'll talk about those in just a moment. But effectively, you believe that, what is it? Is it three stories or something in the suburbs at the moment? Is that what it is?
It is, well, hopefully it would move to three stories, but I see there's been a lot of resistance to even going that route. And there's, in effect, there's a whole tier of mid-density housing that's missing from Auckland, and with it the number of apartments that people could be actually living in.
Right, and they should go in the suburbs, inner city suburbs. So it's this NIMBY issue coming back again, is it?
Well, I think NIMBYism is more complicated than people believe. If you bought a house and you thought a development would threaten those values, of course you would be resistant to it. And I think we don't have a mechanism to recognize that people are worried about this development and how it will affect their values. And so it's easy to just say, well, it's NIMBYism. But a lot of people have their retirements wrapped up in the value of their houses. So you can understand that fear. Mm, so, you know, casting people as NIMBYs or non-NIMBYs is just, I think, a little bit crude. And we need to actually have a mechanism that allows these people to be paid off if they're negatively affected. But what we need to stop is people on, say, the North Shore objecting to developments in inner city Auckland. And unfortunately, regulations like the RMA let that kind of thing happen.
Right, the RMA has to be gutted, doesn't it?
Well, I think it definitely needs a decent overhaul, but unfortunately it's so political, we're unlikely to ever see that overhaul. New Zealand's kind of unique amongst developed world countries in that we have our planning legislation and our environmental legislation in one document. Pretty much no other developed world country does that, and for very good reasons, because you end up with this kind of mix which... What is the outcome you're trying to achieve? Efficient planning or efficient environmental outcomes?
Still need to open up land on the edges or expand the limit, the urban limit, don't we?
Absolutely. Our policy on urban growth has been that cities need to grow up and they need to grow out. You know, people want choice in a city. So an apartment might be suitable for you when you are just getting married or you're a single person. But when you start having a family, you might want to move to the suburbs. And we want a market that can respond to those, and so that you have that natural cycle where people move in and out of apartments and in and out of houses, as opposed to just being stuck in either tiny student apartments in the city centre or in big sprawling houses.
Yeah, but you make the point, though, Jason, that the cities actually drive economies, don't they? They're critical in all of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Ed Glaser calls them the engines of growth in the 21st century, and it's hard to argue with that. But if we make cities so unaffordable, we actually stop that engine from functioning effectively.
Thank you for coming on the program. Good to talk to you. That is Jason Krupp, Research Fellow at the New Zealand Initiative. Newstalk ZB, it's 13 to 7.
More quality, more experience, more to see. Mike Greer Homes offers New Zealand's largest range of home and land packages and a comprehensive design and build service. So wherever you're at in your journey, they can help. Plus, they're